Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
This is Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik. You just hit the jackpot, and no, I do not wish to elaborate. My guest tonight is a comedian, actor, and get this, an improviser to boot. One of my favorite people in comedy. Thank you for being here, Nick Kroll.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
Nick, I think one of the most interesting things about our dynamic is that you're like the nicest guy in show business. And I'm pretty much pure evil straight from hell. And yet not only are we friends, but we always have a blast working together.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? And I'll tell you if you're right.
I think I'm not as nice as people think, and you're not as mean as people think. And so we meet somewhere in the middle there.
But you are like, you're nice. Not, I mean like a genuine nice, not a fake showbiz nice.
Thank you. I believe being nice to be a much easier path through life. You know? Like, yeah. I don't think you're rewarded for being mean to people.
I mean, I've made a career out of it, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Big Mouth, your show on Netflix is so great. What made you want to get into animation?
Couple things. Andrew Goldberg, who's my partner on the show and my best friend from childhood. So I've known him since first grade. And Mark Levin and Jen Flackett, who the four of us created the show. They brought me the idea about me and Andrew going through puberty. And it just kind of, it made sense immediately. It just felt, it was like, oh, yeah. And then I think also I had been doing the League and Kroll show. I was pretty spent physically making those shows, and also like feeling a little weird about my face constantly being on, like recognized as much. And so I think there was a little bit of like, oh, animation might be a good way to be able to make the stuff I want to make, but also not always be like so physically out front on it.
Cool. Let's take a look at a clip from the Valentine's Day special on Netflix.
You know what we should do? Flick Nick's nips.
Ow.
Yeah.
This is fun. They don't need to stop. They're having fun at his expense. Yeah. That's what boys do.
Boys are assholes.
Guys, stop. Why are you being so mean to me?
You're having a really bad day.
Nick, we were just joking around.
Yeah, you're acting like a chick.
I am not acting like a chick.
He's just a boy with breasts.
Great stuff, Nick.
Thank you, Anthony.
Great stuff. why do you think you're so obsessed with kids going through puberty? I mean, is it something you, like, can't control?
I think it was, I mean, it was partly like, I hit puberty late, and I think it really fucked me up. I think, like, being a late developer, being any point, I mean, puberty just kind of is such a seminal, what's so funny to you right now?
The idea of you hitting puberty in college.
Yeah. Like sophomore year, like all of a sudden being like, what is this zit on my face? Wake up, be in class with a boner.
College sounded like a blast.
Yeah, college was fun. Honestly, I think puberty is just such a rough time. You feel so alone when you're going through it that having a show and now there's a few shows that are sort of all like talking about this stuff like Pen 15 and Sex Education and a few other shows that are doing a good job of talking about this stuff. And it's just, I think it's because it's fruitful. It's just like, there's stakes to it all, you know?
So to sum up, it's cool and not at all weird that you make this show.
Yeah.
And the show itself is so dense with jokes. I mean, every line is a joke, which is different from, you know, the Kroll show or your act. Was that, I mean, you have jokes, but these character pieces where you're building to something, where this is just like rapid fire, almost like a like Airplane or Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Did that come naturally as you were writing it?
I think that's the beauty of animation is you just keep getting to pile jokes on stuff, and there's so many ways to tell jokes in the just physically laying out a scene that is harder to do in live action. And you keep getting to, like, polish animation. So, like, we can add another joke on top of that. We can call back that. And it's a much more, yeah, it's just you're able to keep adding and polishing in a way.
Nick, what was the theme of your bar mitzvah?
I had a world theme.
Who cares?
Nick, you do both stand-up and improv. It's so rare for people to be good at both. Mm-hmm. How do you come so close to pulling it off?
Oh, man. I do believe I straddle. There are so many times where I feel like it's a larger thing in my life where I'm like, ooh, why do I straddle both? Like, why do I dip my toe into improv and then I'll do improv shows and be like, fuck, man, I wish I were more like, you know, that muscle was warmer, you know? And the same with stand-up where I'm like, oh, I just can't fully commit to, like, fully jumping in and engaging it. But also, you know, who fucking cares? You know? Who cares about any of this?
Not me. I just wanted to kind of slam you in a question.
Yeah, I figured.
Nick, looking at IMDb, did you know that stands for Internet Movie Database?
I did.
You did?
Yeah. We used to joke around that it was called I'm Debbie.
I'll be right back with Nick Kroll, but first, please enjoy some stunning examples of timeless comedy.
My last girlfriend, she was calling my penis what I thought was like a big, powerful, scary nickname. She's calling it a weapon of mass destruction. Yeah, sounded cool. But I found out she was calling it that because she thought my penis was really hard to find.
So they were playing Puff Daddy at the place. You guys like Puff Daddy?
The last two summers, we had the West Nile virus.
One day there may be a black president, but there will never be a black president named Barack Obama.
We have iPods, for God's sake. We have iPods.
Anybody here on MySpace? MySpace? Yeah. Right up here. Mm-hmm.
Lending crackhead $20 is like loaning out one of your good knives to O.J. Simpson. You're never going to see it again.
Timeless was ironic, man.
Yeah, I can tell.
And I'm back with Good Talk. Hey, Nick Kroll, when'd you get here?
I got... That's funny.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Nick, you've been doing comedy for so long. Who are some of your comedic influences besides the way golfers dress?
Oh, you really wish I didn't have this button. Do you feel a button buttoned up to the top works
for
the golfer joke?
I'm glad you're doing it so I don't have to.
Yeah. You
know, but I know, we wrote this joke well in advance.
Yes.
Not knowing what you're going to be wearing.
But you figured it would be somewhere in that vibe.
I've never seen you not look like you could be carrying golf clubs.
Really?
Yes.
What if I didn't play golf, but I just carried golf clubs around with me? Like, that was my thing. You know, a big one for, especially for me and Andrew, when we were around this age, when we were around the, like, 13, the boys in the show, we would watch Wayne's World basically, like, every day.
The movie or the sketch on SNL?
Originally the sketch and then the movie. Like, I kind of know that. I'd say that might be the only movie that at one point I knew, like, every word to. Because I just also, like, Dana Carvey's a big one. I'm realizing now more and more. I just heard him on Howard Stern, and I was, like, remembering, like, his years on SNL and how, like, what a fucking star was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right. And, like, specifically the Wayne and Garth model of two characters who are in the same world, and there's, like, this status play at hand. Like, so many of my characters and things like that have some version of that dynamic. Like, Oh Hello with me and Mulaney, or Publicity, or Bobby Bottle Service and Peter Paparazzo, or Rich Dicks. Like, a lot of Kroll Show kind of functioned in some version of that duo, where Wayne and Garth clearly are these two guys from the exact same world and environment, and yet they have these very different, like, status plays on it. So that was a big one for me. I love that movie.
It's so funny running into Dana Carvey now. Like, I grew up the same way as you, like watching him being like, this guy's a genius, the funniest person ever. And now, because he has kids who are, like, in their early 20s and getting into stand-up, he knows who we are. Like, he came up to me and wanted to shake my hand, and I was like, I can't believe this guy that I've loved my whole life, like, wants to meet me.
Yeah.
And talk to me about his kids.
Yeah, I did not have that version of it with him. I approached him, he blew me off a couple times, and then And then someone introduced me and said, Danny, you should know who Nick Kroll is. He's a contemporary of Anthony Jeselnik.
Yes.
And at which point he engaged me. And so I'm very grateful to you for that.
Let's cleanse ourselves of this awkwardness right now and watch a clip from the movie Wayne's World.
Great. I love that movie.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No. No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
Still holds up today. Mm-hmm. Now, you said you and Andrew, when you were younger, mm-hmm. would reenact Wayne's World. Was it like word for word? You would do the sketches, or you'd make up your own?
I think it was probably a combination there, and it was like we would host, I don't know, Anthony, if you knew this, but I'm Jewish. I don't know if you knew that about me. Yeah. I went to a Jewish day school, and we would, Andrew and I would host like the Purim talent show as Wayne and Garth. Do you know what Purim is?
I don't even know what day school is. Yes. Like, were there Jewish night schools for kids who were just too busy?
Yeah. They were already like selling electronics and diamonds during the day. They were doing elementary school at night. Anyway, it's the Purim talent show. We hosted it. I think we did. It's like the Mad Libs of you take like the basis of Wayne's World bits and then you replace it, you know, with like local references, you know.
Sure. Do you see yourself as more of a Wayne or a Garth?
It really depends on the bit.
Really?
Yeah. I'll comfortably go through like both, play both.
Who would you say I am?
I think you're Beta. I think you're a no.
I'm Rob Lowe.
You're Rob Lowe?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
I hate both you guys, and I'm gonna do my best to steal Wayne's girlfriend.
Yeah, Tia Carrera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Still getting it done.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick, the Emmy-winning show Entourage aired from 2004 to 2011, the golden age of television.
Oh, yeah.
I assume you are familiar?
Oh, yeah!
Great. We're gonna play a game right now.
Mm-hmm.
Called Actual Turtle or Turtle from Entourage.
Copy.
I'm gonna describe something.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me if I'm describing an actual turtle
uh-huh.
or turtle from the show Entourage.
Copy that.
This turtle brings street smarts and an urban flavor to actor Vinny Chase and his friends and is a frequent user of marijuana.
This is Turtle from Entourage.
It's your boy, Turtle. This turtle uh-huh. spends its entire life at sea, except to lay eggs several times every 2 to 5 years.
I think that's an actual turtle.
It's your girl, sea turtle.
I saw turtles. I met a bunch of turtles. I saw turtles fucking. I went to the Galapagos, and I saw turtles, like old turtles fucking. And they fucked for like 9 hours.
Why in the hell would you bring that up now? This turtle's diminutive size and softer than average exterior often forces it into submissive or bitch type roles by its more dominant peers.
I think that's gonna be an actual turtle.
No, it's your boy, Turtle. This turtle once dated Jamie Lynn Sigler, who has since been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
I'm gonna say that that's the actual turtle. No, that's a turtle. That's turtle. I'm so flustered. That is the actual turtle from Entourage, is what I wanna say.
It's your boy, Turtle. Great job, Nick. You only got one wrong, which is shocking. We'll be right back with more of Two White Guys Telling It Like It Is right after this. It's Good Talk. Right in the middle of Good Talk, I'm Anthony Jeselnik, this is Nick Kroll, and it's too late to turn back now. Now, Nick, have you ever seen the movie Sophie's Choice?
Yes.
Okay, great, then you're gonna be great at this. This is just like Sophie's Choice, it's called Agree or Disagree.
Okay.
I'm gonna read you a statement about comedy.
Great.
You're gonna tell me if you agree with it or disagree with it.
Sure.
Just like Sophie's Choice.
Great. It's amazing, I totally zoned out during that, but I think I'll remember.
Agree or disagree, internet comments are helpful and worth taking time to peruse.
Disagree.
Disagree. You've never gotten anything good out of reading the comments.
I think, I remember years ago watching a show called Iconoclast on the Sundance Channel, which is ostensibly what we're doing here. You know, Robert Redford and Paul Newman interview each other. It turns out Paul Newman's cooler than Robert Redford. That is it.
By a mile.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So they had Maya Angelou and Dave Chappelle on an episode. And Chappelle asked Maya Angelou, how do you deal with criticism? And Maya Angelou ostensibly said, if you don't pick up the compliments, then you don't have to pick up the criticism either. And I've tried my best to live by that ethos. Like, if you don't, if you don't let what anything coming in affect you and what you're trying to do, then the negative stuff has a lot less of an effect on you.
But doesn't Maya Angelou deserve all the shit she gets? Agree or disagree?
Does it feel good? When you know you got it, when does that pop into your head? Like, when do you know you're like, I'm gonna fucking take down Maya Angelou in a second?
Honestly, I'm so used to it.
Yeah.
That she shouldn't have come at me. You know what I mean? Agree or disagree, when it comes to stand-up, you should just have fun up there.
See, you're telegraphing in your delivery where you stand on this. I have, for me personally, have fun up there. I have to, it cannot be, because I don't write jokes like you, part of what is interesting or charming about me is going to be seemingly that there's something happening on stage that might not happen again, that is like this moment. Whereas everybody knows that you sit alone in a dark room and write these awful thoughts.
Yes. But if I am having fun, like, if it's not going well, but I'm still having fun, it's still a good show.
Yes.
But I've done shows, like, two shows in a night where I hate the first crowd and I'm furious and I'm just getting through it.
Yeah.
And the second crowd is amazing. They're just, like, giving me all the energy and I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah.
I'll walk off stage and be like, I hated that first show, loved the second show. And someone will go, Anthony, watching you, you cannot tell the difference.
Right, right.
Like, your character is so locked in that any joy is lost. Like, that we have no idea what's going through your head. Agree or disagree, singing, dancing, or playing an instrument is cheating in stand-up comedy?
Oh, I disagree.
Why? Who are you trying to protect?
So many people. You know what it was? Is I thought the question was just going to be singing, dancing, or playing music, and I was just gonna say dancing. Like, I didn't know there was gonna be more to the question. I was like, oh, I know the answer to this. And I know, and I wasn't even agree or disagree. I just knew that I was like, my answer is dancing. And then as you finished the question, then I was like, what if I dance on stage? I'd like to dance on stage, but I've never done it because it's not funny, and it just makes me wanting to seem cool.
You want to dance on stage?
I wanna dance on stage, I just want to dance, Anthony.
I mean, you could Ellen it up if you wanted to.
Oh, my God.
People would love it.
Would you dance?
No.
When on Ellen?
I don't dance at, like, places where people go to dance.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you see me dancing, call an ambulance, because I am this close to alcohol poisoning. It happens, but I am dead drunk.
Oh, man. If you just walked into a club and saw you dancing alone to, like, Morrissey, just, like... like weeping on the dance floor, just kind of like swinging back and forth.
Would you go into that bar?
Yeah, I would fucking go to that bar and hang out. Do I think it's cheating? What do you think?
I think there are exceptions.
Yeah?
You know what I mean? Like Steve Martin played the banjo sometimes.
Sure.
Like, great.
Yeah.
You know, he's still a great stand-up.
Yeah.
I think that stand-up, though, is a pure art form, and then it should just be you and a microphone.
Yeah.
Last one. Agree or disagree, more children should be doing stand-up.
Disagree. I don't think more children should be doing stand-up, Anthony.
Me too.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that
one. Oh, that's awesome. I don't think kids should be able to do any show business.
What about porn?
That's fine.
Did somebody say D-Block?
No!
Well, then I guess the honor is mine. D-Block, coming up next. The talk is good. Time to wrap it up like a PSA from the 90s. Nick, I like to end every show with a segment called Make God Laugh.
Okay.
We talk about a comedian friend of ours who is no longer with us. Tell me about your experience with Brody Stevens.
The amazing thing about Brody is he, especially when he passed away, you realize he knew every comedian like from movie stars to like open micers, because mm-hmm. he kind of continued to do every type of show. Like as we stopped doing like the smaller like back of a bar shows, he continued to do those shows. So everybody has like their version of being around him. But I met him, I don't know, probably like 04, something like that, first time in LA, or and he's just he's kind of an immediate presence.
And I most people know him as a stand-up. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't know he did any acting. Mm-hmm. But let's take a look at a clip of Brody Stevens on Kroll Show.
I'm here to get you in shape. I want to whip you up. You want to be a father?
Yeah.
Pushing the stroller, taking him to school, soccer practice.
I'm going to make my kid proud by getting all jacked up.
Get jacked up.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Let's do this.
Blah, 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 blah,
don't
blah.
Shoot. No. Don't shoot
okay,
the surfboard.
I got carried
don't,
away, lactic got carried away. Are.
We love you, Brody. I hope God is enjoying watching you do a bunch of push-ups right now. I'd like to thank my guest, Nick Kroll, for putting his career in my hands. Nick, you were hilarious tonight, a great friend. An even better guest.
Tony Jez, thanks so much for having me.
Make sure to check out season 3 of Big Mouth on Netflix with the Addams Family in theaters soon or now. We tape these pretty far in advance. Check your local listings or something. That's good talk.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.